The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Something that you didn't know at this time yesterday, and I want you to visualize it, okay? The acceleration rate of a flea jumping off of a dog is 20 times the acceleration of the space shuttle during launch.
Right, so let me just, now I'm visualizing the back legs of a flea. So you're telling me that the speed at which a flea goes
off a dog
with the acceleration rate
right. Is
the equivalent of a rocket?
It's 20 times the speed of the space shuttle during launch.
That's
of the
phenomenal.
Acceleration.
That's phenomenal. It's because their back legs are so, I don't know if you've ever seen, have you ever seen a kangaroo jump?
Not in real life. I've never seen a kangaroo.
The sheer power. In real life, you've never seen a kangaroo?
Where would I have?
In like a zoo or a wildlife park or something.
No, I've never seen a kangaroo in a wildlife park or a
really?
Zoo. Yeah, and I haven't been to Australia yet.
No, a friend of mine got kicked by a kangaroo in Ireland.
That can't have been fun.
Like, it was not, no. We used to call her Skippy for the longest time in university as a result.
She must have loved that.
She did. But she got kicked by one and she said the sheer force, she ended up in A&E with bruised ribs
but
as a result.
But you would be. I mean, if they punch you, you're in for it.
And what they do is they build up. Something, I think it's kinetic tension. I think that's the correct word for it. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure. They build up the kinetic tension and it's like a rubber band when you release it. That's the force that it releases with. So I'm guessing the flea is the same thing. It's this kinetic tension that's built up and then it's like catapults itself off of its landing patch to where it needs to be.
20 times faster than a shuttle.
That has just...
Right? Exactly. Mm. That noise. Yep. At blast off.
That's blowing my mind. Yeah. That is something you didn't know at this time yesterday. Wow, please. Mad jokes altogether.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
It is St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Law Éile Fáldraig, Honey Yeev this morning.
What he said
in Gaelic. That'd be great. You have, by osmosis, you should know a lot about Irishness and Irish things because you've been hanging out with me for years.
I feel like I've become better than I was 6 years ago.
You definitely have. And now I feel like you get the nuances of Irish
right.
a lot more than you did before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of slang that operates in different areas of Ireland, in different counties. They have their own unique slang. And I thought I would test your knowledge of Irish slang phrases this morning.
Yeah, but the hard thing is, when I came to visit you in Ireland twice, I didn't understand what your family or anybody said to me. I just nodded and was like, that's so funny.
That's because we're...
And usually they are funny, so they were like, yeah, it is. Good crack.
Yeah, no, it's good crack. There you go. No, because we speak fast, don't we? These are not fast phrases. They're not exactly what you might think they are.
Listen,
yes.
A disclaimer. Mm. If you're going to make me say something that's going to get me in trouble in any way, shape,
fine.
Or form,
no.
HR, Jono's responsible.
I'm taking the full responsibility for this, yeah?
Because I know
I'll take the flack, so to speak. If you flip over the sheet in front of you there, there's a whole stack of Irish phrases. All you gotta do is run through them and tell me what you think each one of them means. You ready? Flip
yes.
it over.
All right.
Let's start off with the first one.
Story horse.
Story horse. What do you think story horse means?
It is a person who just talks nonstop and is like, you know, good chat and banter at a party.
I'm afraid not. It just is basically asking how's everything going. It's like, how are you? Story horse. Like, that's all you ask.
Story
horse. Yeah. All right. Number two.
Scarlet for your ma for having you.
Scarlet for your ma for having you. Yeah. Scarlet for your ma for having you.
Oh, like you must be a piece of work. Like, bless your mum for having you.
I'm going to give you that. Yeah, I'm embarrassed for your mother for giving birth
scarlet
to you.
Because she turns scarlet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I will in me hoop.
I will in me hoop.
Which means I absolutely won't do that.
You absolutely won't do it. Correct.
Now you're sucking diesel.
Yeah.
Which means, wow, you really are at the like bottom of the barrel. Like you're on your last leg.
It's actually the opposite of that.
Oh.
Yeah, now you're like, as in now you're really going. You're really going, like you're really taking all the petrol into your system.
Boy,
yeah,
you're some ride.
Yeah,
it means you're
some
hot.
Yes, it does mean you're hot.
Yeah, somebody said that to me once, and I was like, I don't understand what this means. And then you told me.
Yeah,
I'm still embarrassed.
Your next one.
The crack is 90.
Yeah,
which means like it's a good time.
That's 100% correct. Yes,
they are fair, decent tackies.
You have to pronounce the what you've done there is they're a fair.
Decent.
Decent tackies.
Decent tackies.
Yeah, this is a specifically Limerick one where I'm from.
Clothes? They're fairly like tracksuit bottoms?
You know what? I'm going to give you the point because it's tricky that, but yeah, they're good. They're runners. That's another name for runners.
Right.
Tackies.
I did think runners,
yes.
But then I was like, okay.
I'm going to give you the point on that one.
Aniskana.
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 Does it mean I need the loo?
No, it does not, no.
Aniskana.
Aniskana.
Is there any scandal?
That's exactly it.
What?
Yes. Well done. That's incredible. Yeah.
Come here, won't you?
Come here, won't you?
Just come on over. I've got to tell you something.
You know, I am blown away.
Ostobuska.
Ostobuska. If you were describing somebody, you'd say he's Ostobuska.
He's the busker on Grafton Street.
It literally means out of your box. It means like you're mad, you're crazy, you're Ostobuska.
Yeah. Where's the jacks?
Where's the jacks?
Where's the jacks? Where's the toilet? Oh my goodness. Get up, oh Rada.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, get up, Rada.
Get up, Rada.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Get in the car.
Yeah. Or if you were like if you're at a party, like in everyone was going, you'd be like, yeah, get up, Rada. Like if you get up dancing and stuff, you'd be excited about it. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that as well. That's fine.
The bleeding hacker, yeah.
The bleeding hacker.
The bleeding hacker. Like the nerve on you, or the back of you.
I'm going to give you the point. It's basically look at the state of you. You're shocking.
Yeah, like
God, Nats, I'm impressed.
I am too.
Right than wrong. You 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You got 9 of those.
Where's my passport?
Which is incredible. And now I do actually. Congrats, first of all. We've teamed up with the guys from Expat Box who've got Tato Crisps, Barry's Tea Bags, and they've got Whispers and they got Cadbury's, and they are going to send you some stuff. So thanks to the guys
from
Expat Box. You
can
check them out on social media.
I love.
They are sorting you out with some goodies this morning as a little well done.
The Cadbury's that you get in Ireland,
totally different
from the rest of the
different ball game.
Yeah, they have that mint crisp one that's so delicious.
We're made of chocolate practically. We're so sweet. Well done to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. That is very impressive. I'm blown away. I honestly expected you to get a lot less correct.
I'm very, very impressed with myself. I have to say that, like, really, you've rubbed off on me.
Yeah, I'm happy. And not in an inappropriate way, just to be very clear.
I have something nice to say to you.
Yeah.
For each petal on the shamrock, this brings a wish your way. Good health, good luck, and happiness for today and every day.
It's another one of those Irish-American things she's found on the internet.
Oh, man.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
All right, what do you think about this? Given the choice, would you sleep in a separate bed from your other half? So you're not separating from them, you're just separate sleeping from them.
Absolutely not.
All right, then let me give you the logic behind this. And this is it's Scandinavian countries. When I check into a hotel there, I'm always like, oh, two separate beds instead of one big one. But you can always kind of spread yourself across the two of them. So the two separate beds are kind of jammed together. But at the same time,
that
they still are two separate beds. I get where you're coming from. It depends on the mattress and stuff. There's a whole lot of factors that come into place there. But it turns out that 49% of people who've been asked said they would be willing to try this, sleep in a separate bed to get a better rest. And let's face it, if you've got a partner who snores, watches the TV, any of that kind of stuff, sleeps with the lights on, sleeping in a separate bed doesn't seem like such a bad idea anymore, no?
Well, what's that going to do? You're in a separate bed in the same room. If they snore, big deal, you still hear them?
Just apparently, if you're in a separate bed, it allows you your own space to move around. You get a bit more freedom and you get a bit more comfort.
What they tend to do in Northern Europe, Scandinavia, right, is separate blankets.
Yeah.
Right, so that there's no hogging of the blanket. They have those like twin size blankets, right?
That makes sense.
Right. Well, it does, but again, you know, I don't know. I'm Roman. I'm from
it's a tossing and
Italy.
Turn,
I just
literally.
Kind of think like, you know, spooning is lovely and being near your loved one, right?
Oh,
and
I so it's like nothing worse.
Like I don't
terrible.
Want a separate blanket and I don't want a separate bed or bedroom.
But the separate blanket thing, Joy, just I don't know, maybe it's a guy thing. Am I right in this in thinking separate blankets?
Separate blanket, separate bed. It's just easier.
It's just easier.
Separate beds.
Well, because if you think
can't
about
even
it,
go to bed cuddling.
No, but
what's the point?
Well, I twist and turn a lot and kick a lot, so I think
same.
Better for your missus.
Better
then.
For me. Yeah, exactly.
Better for everyone involved.
Half, yeah.
0487155333. Separate beds. Perhaps you do this because if you are from Northern Europe, maybe you've adopted this policy here. A lot of the Scandinavian sleeping companies here.
I mean, you probably sleep a lot better. I think the romantic in me is like no.
Yeah, wonderful for the romantic in you. I hope you're great when your eyes are hanging out of your head because you're so tired because you haven't slept properly.
Well, that's been happening for the last 3 years just because we wake up early doors for this show.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
What do you think? Separate beds, yay or nay for you and your loved one?
No, no way.
Right?
Why?
I don't feel that's right. You know, it's the most important place as husband and wife in your life. And if you have to sleep separately, then why be even married? And I'm a big snorer and he would never compromise to sleep anywhere else. He would just be very happy sleeping with me.
He's your
and even
lobster.
If I'm sick, he would like No. You just sleep next to me. It's fine.
Sounds like you got a keeper and a winner there.
Are you both very heavy sleepers as well? Like, you both sleep very soundly?
No, he's a light sleeper and I'm a heavy sleeper. And I could like sleep in like a second. And he would like take about 20 minutes to half an hour to go to bed. Despite that, he would never, ever want me to sleep anywhere else.
I'm a romantic of the same kind. That's how I am.
Yeah. Maybe it's a guy thing because Joey and I have both said it. Maybe it's a guy thing.
Both Joey and I. But she's saying that her husband doesn't feel the same way as you and Joey.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Oh, he's opening up a can of worms.
I don't want to get into it, but I'm just saying maybe that's what he's saying.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Morning, Jono and Nat. Separate beds. Not sure about that. Nothing to do with spooning, romance or anything. But when he's snoring, if I'm in a separate bed, I can't poke him. I'd have to get out of bed to poke him or put a pillow on his head. So separate rooms maybe, but definitely not separate beds.
Well, Tracy, wow, separate rooms even.
I tell you what, Tracy. But maybe again, and I did think maybe it's a guys versus girls thing.
Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We sleep separately quite often, actually, more than we do together.
How separate are we talking? Separate beds, separate rooms, separate houses?
Yeah, separate rooms. So my husband usually works 4 days a week away, but then when he comes back on a Thursday, straight away he's upstairs in the spare bedroom. We might snuggle at night time, maybe watch him on telly, but then when I wake up in the middle of the night, he's gone. He's upstairs.
Was this a conscious decision that you both sat down and said, listen, this is what we're going to do for now?
Sleep.
Or did it just happen naturally and you're like, that's a better night's sleep. I'm going to do that more often.
I think it just gradually happened. Yeah, we've been together for 12 years now. And yeah, it was just more and more often he would just sneak off upstairs. But honestly, does not bother me in the slightest. I love star fishing in the bed on my own. And yeah, just having a great night's sleep.
Exactly.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Morning, guys. How are you? I'm with Nat on this one, Jono. You got to have a bit of spooning in bed.
See?
Mind you, any spooning that goes with me and my wife nowadays is when she puts sugar in me tea. But nah, separate beds. If I've been out in the night, as a razzle dazzle, definitely.
Oh, that's so good.
But otherwise, no. Got to be in the same bed.
Oh, that's just too good.
I did ask for a guy's opinion on this, and now that has been Martin's. But Rory, good morning. Separate
beds.
What
are beds? Your thoughts?
Yes, I am done with waking up with little ivy-sized bruises on my back, pinch marks and paint marks. So me and my wife just got a new bed probably about a month ago, and this thing is ginormous, really. we're sleeping in a boat, a big boat or a ship, right?
Right.
So this is to combat Ivy, who's our four-year-old, who comes in every night to sleep with us, just to get a bit more space so we can have a better night's sleep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I still end up having 15 to 17 centimeters of width of this bed to sleep on. So I just sleep like a plank on my side, and I wonder why my back always hurts in the morning when I wake up.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, that might be your age, Rory. That just happens when you get a certain age. That just happens regardless. Everything hurts.
I came up with an idea of an electric fence between the two separate beds just to guarantee...
Oh, my goodness.
...that good night's sleep.
You're taking it on another level now. There's punishment for moving on to my side of the bed.
I think you've adopted what might be a distinctly South African farmer approach to what is an international problem. Just going, just put an electric fence up and call it a day. That's what you've just gone. We're just going to put an electric fence up. I think it's a great idea, but I don't know if it's ever going to catch on.
No.
I got to be honest with you, Rory. I don't know if it's going to catch on. I love the idea behind it, but maybe just separate blankets instead of pushing it to the electric fence level, yeah?
Hey, come spend a night in my bed, you'll agree with me.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Well, have you ever asked yourself why a cat's favourite pastime is to knock stuff off a table or a shelf?
They're just, cats are the annoying cousin or uncle of the family, regardless of what you do with them. They just like winding
sometimes
people up.
Sometimes cute, sometimes cuddly, sometimes aloof. Yours likes to steal Durham coins and hide them under carpets. She's a thief.
She is a thief, and she also poops on the floor, so I call her pooper.
Right next to the litter basket.
Right next to it. Like, she'll go out of her way, and she'll sit there and stare at me while she's doing it as well. It's almost devious, which is why I think, and I love them dearly, absolutely love the cats that I have, but I do think that they're devious, evil masterminds.
Well, masterminds indeed. Scientists have said that there actually should be and could be a valid reason as to why they do like to knock things off tables and shelves and that kind of stuff. And the reason being is, A, they've learned that it's a really quick way to get our attention, so they do it.
Mm-hmm.
B, it's part of their hardwiring as hunters. So they're like, oh, well, this little knickknack could prove to be a mouse. I might knock it and see if it scurries away, and then I can chase after it. And then if it rolls onto the floor and it isn't a mouse, then it's a fun game.
Cool.
That I can just chase after this thing that I've knocked onto the floor like a ball.
The amount of times I've come home and just found glass broken everywhere. Yeah. And it worries me then because, you know, the little paws and stuff. And then I'm like, you know what? Actually, I'm not as concerned because it feels like you may have known what you were doing. I feel like that cat knew what
it's
it was doing.
It's either a game or a good lunch. Yeah. That's what they're thinking. They're right. Like, oh, well, I'm either going to eat this or give it to my human and be like, look what I brought you.
Either way, it's something I'm going to have to clean up afterwards, isn't it? That's the whole point behind
it. Got your attention though,
but
didn't
I honestly believe that underneath it all, and cats as wonderful as they are and as great companions as they are sometimes, that they are hiding this evil genius that's just there underneath, bubbling underneath the surface.
I've never met a cat that looks at a dirham coin and thinks, I know, I'll have that. I'll put it in my mouth and I'm going to put it under that carpet for a rainy day.
Well, you know what she is?
Your grandmother in a cat form.
That kind of, keep it in my mattress. I think it's because obviously Irish heritage from my point of view. Yeah. I like to scurry like a squirrel. I scurry away cash in places that I just forget it's there.
Like watch you do it. Like, so
if I find 100 dirhams in a shoe and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was a great place to hide it. I totally forgot that it was inside there.
Oh my goodness.
So she's doing what I do. She's just embodied the me version in a cat. Except I don't poop on the floor, folks. Just want to be very clear about that one.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Stuff that we need to be watching. Binge watching indeed. Well, I wish this was the case with Ted Lasso season 3 that is out tomorrow on Apple TV. I have been counting the days for this and I've just found out that we're only going to get one new episode a week, like back in the olden days.
I thought they didn't do that anymore. I thought they released them all at once.
I was like, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to binge it, it's going to be great. But this is an exercise in patience basically, because every single Wednesday a new episode through to the end of May of Ted Lasso is going to be airing
that
on
is,
Apple TV+.
That's playing the long game is what that's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that. Meanwhile, you can see on Netflix right now, MH370, The Plane That Disappeared. It's a Netflix documentary. It is only 3 episodes long, I think, or 4. But it's kind of all the different theories about where the plane ended up. It is worth watching, but it's not as mind-blowing as I expected it to be. It was kind of all the things that I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
Well, is there a resolution? That's what I
want to know. No, there isn't. Because it's a Netflix TV show, isn't it? So there's never a resolution. That's what happens in Netflix TV shows about murders or crimes.
Well, there's one that's very akin to that called Finding Michael on Disney Plus. Spencer Matthews goes back to Everest to try to find his brother Michael, who disappeared 23 years before.
By the way,
that
I've heard it's tremendous. It's supposed to be a real tearjerker, that one is, right? If you feel like you want to work out and you want to feel the burn but you don't want to leave your house, ain't that the truth? Well, now they've released a whole lot of things that you can try out for yourself at home on Netflix. 10, 20 and 30 minute versions of workouts. They've got abs and cores, body weight burns, fitness for runners, high intensity training. There is something there for pretty much everyone. They've even got yoga for beginners. So I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds like something that I would be getting behind and watching it. And if you haven't seen the new movie yet with Idris Elba, Luther, The Fallen Son, which is based on the BBC drama of the same name, it is a tremendous movie to watch. Kind of a little bit ridiculous towards the end of it, but overall, overarching, a great movie.
Well, there was 5 seasons, right, of the show Luther, and now he's back in a feature film length of the same ilk.
And
so that's what it is.
If you're looking forward to some stuff that's been released over the next couple of days, 2 days ago before Kick-Ass 2 and Pitch Black, along with Riddick and The Chronicles of Riddick, are all released on Netflix for you to stream.
Oh, I got excited for a second because I thought it was a new Pitch Perfect movie, and then you
Me
said
too,
Pitch Black.
Me too, Pitch Black. Different vibe altogether.
There's a show called Endeavor that everybody's talking about, saying it's an amazing piece of TV drama and that everybody needs to get on board and watch it. Quality writing, acting, second to none. I haven't heard much about this show, but I'll be definitely trying to peruse that. And if you're a fan of Miley Cyrus, who dropped her new album, Endless Summer Vacation, on Friday, she's released the Backyard Sessions on Disney Plus that you can go and check out.
Very, very cool.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Apparently, there are a lot of misconceptions around when it is safe to eat a certain food item, best before date and that kind of thing.
Right, so when they go off, if you can eat them or not.
And I usually trash them just to be on the safe side, which is wasteful, right? So now I'm going to debunk some of them, like butter. It's safe to eat past its best before date as long as it's been stored properly and doesn't show any signs of spoilage like mold, changing color or texture. But butter is good for a month after the best before date in the fridge and up to a year in the freezer.
So I don't know, they found a bog butter in Ireland, which was butter that had been preserved in the bog. And they said that once you cut off the top layer of it, the butter underneath was all good. Maybe it's just like a cheese.
Yeah, maybe. You know, speaking of cheese, hard cheese, usually safe to eat for months after its best before date. In fact, aging, like Parmigiano cheese, usually improves the flavor of many cheeses. Just make sure it's stored in the fridge and in an airtight container.
Right, that makes sense.
Bread, yes, it will go stale. And if it does go stale, try toasting it and then use it for breadcrumbs. as long as it's not moldy. If it's moldy, then you have to trash it. Canned foods, they're safe as long as the can is intact, the contents look and smell normal, and you have to keep canned foods in a cool, dry place away from direct sunlight or heat.
I wish I knew all this stuff when the pandemic started, because I had this panic buy, right, where I thought doomsday.
Yeah.
I'm going to just store loads of stuff,
did
right?
That, yeah.
And I, toilet paper was obviously first of the list, but then very close behind that, I was like canned foods.
Yeah.
That's canned food and Twinkies. They're the things people keep when there's like some sort of an issue going on, isn't it? You just store
can you
a whole
get Twinkies here.
No, but if you could, you can save them, because apparently they again best before. 4 dates mean nothing to those things because they're so full of sugar.
Yeah, well, like hard candy, right? So if you've got leftover Halloween candy that you found under the sofa, it's probably still good.
Yep.
Candy has a long shelf life because it contains preservatives, because it's packaged in a way to prevent contamination, and sugar also acts as a natural preservative.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Of course.
And one last one, dry cereal. It doesn't go bad the same way that things like meat or dairy products do because it is processed, the sugar, designed for a long shelf life. So it's good to up to a year past its best before date.
That's great. You'll have food forever if there's any sort of a doomsday preparation, but you'll have no dentist to go to see. That's the only issue, because your teeth are going to fall out of your head with all the sugar you're after consuming.
The dentist will be super happy.
Yeah, they will, yeah, if they're still operating.
But before you do your spring cleaning, just keep
these that in,
things
mind.
In mind.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
Got a taste for you.
Cheap Eats.
All right, Arva, with Ramadan just around the corner, what have you got for us this week?
All right, so everyone is in the zone where they're stockpiling dates. And if you are one of those people, then this is where you need to go. So I know a lot of people love having those fat, juicy medjool dates. The best place and the best trade that you can get will be at the Waterfront Market.
Yes.
And it is so worth the drive. So if you haven't been, this Waterfront Market is basically in Dera. It's the old market that they demolished and then rebuilt it as a more mall-like situation.
Yep.
And they have these open date counters where you can essentially taste your way through a bunch of different dates and figure out the best ones. But the ones that I typically go for are the fat jumbo medjool dates from Palestine.
Now these things, and I gotta be honest with you, some of them look like they're the size of your fist, right? The dates that are on sale down here, I'm like, how do these dates get so big?
It's
come on,
meal.
This is an apple, for goodness sake. But I think it is one of those places, and especially when it comes close to Ramadan, there are people you gotta buy gifts for. There's that thing where you always wonder what you bring along if you've been invited to an iftar. And dates are the perfect solution to all of that, right?
They are, and you know, Jono, to your point, they are massive. I actually weighed one of these medjool dates, and one of them comes to around 30, even over, like maybe sometimes 33 grams, which is huge. I think the way, this is what I've heard, this is how I think they do it. I think they pluck off some of the dates from the tree before they can get ripe, so the other ones have more nourishment and room to grow, and that's how they become jumbo.
I get it. So I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of that being done with other fruit, right? I know they do that with grapes as well, where you take away the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, so that the ones up the top will manage to get bigger, and that is incredible.
Exactly.
I did not know that. Hey, and perfect just in time for Ramadan as well, that you'll have dates galore for your friends, for your family, wherever you're going to bring these along. How much are we talking though?
All right, so usually online, the rate that I've seen at a lot of the big supermarkets and grocery stores and so on for medjool dates is about 49 to 55 dirhams a kilo. This is what I've seen. At the market, I get them for 30 dirhams a kilo. And if you buy them in bulk, which honestly you got to do because each one is so big, you're consuming like a lot in one go. So if I buy like a 5 kilo box, you can negotiate the price even lower than 30 dirhams.
I love it. Haggling at the Waterfront Market, Arva. What a top tip.
100%.
As always, check out Frying Pan Adventures. They will have all the info on everywhere you can go and check out to get some scrumptious eats. Arva, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Have a scrumptious week ahead, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat.
A Dubai 92 podcast.
If you're a pet owner, you may be surprised to find out that your pet actually has its own musical taste, which may not be in keeping with your musical taste. And it's no real surprise. If you just think about your brother's dog, Jasper.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine what his musical taste would be? Have you already picked for him what you think it would be?
I think it would probably be what Tina loves, which is The Cure.
Right.
Right? But he's like, he's part
human. He's a British
human.
Bulldog, right?
He's a British bulldog, but he's not much like a dog. He gets offended. He turns his back on you. He ignores you. He's highly intelligent, but very peculiar.
So Metallica. He'd enjoy Metallica.
Yeah,
you can just
probably
tell from his personality, you're like, you're a Metallica listener. You know, and you love listening. You weirdly listen to Enema of the State from Blink 182.
I
you
mean,
think that that's a great album. You know, that's his personality.
I think he'd kind of be into like Phil Collins.
Do you think so?
Against all odds. sad, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. A bit mopey and a bit grumpy.
Yeah.
However, cats love classical music. Most cats love classical music. And I can see that. A lot of cats are refined. They're kind of a bit, they have this air of, they're like that friend that you had in school who went on to do very well in life. And you just know that that person has tea and biscuits and stuff in the evening, sits with the cheese board and listens to classical music while reading
and feeds
their,
the cats.
Reading a Dostoevsky book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right, highbrow.
That's, yeah, that's exactly the kind of a thing. Except for my cat, which poops on the floor and probably
and steals your money.
Yeah, and listens to nursery rhymes on YouTube. You know, that's, you can tell your pet has got a different type of music.
I was telling my family about your cat that steals Durham coins and hides them under the carpet and then hisses at you every time you steal the change to pay the delivery drivers.
Yeah, which, but it's the cat's fault.
So good.
But it turns out everyone's pets have got their own individual taste, and 90% of the time it's not the same taste as their owners. Like my parrot loves ABBA. Fair enough, so do I, but that's not
your, you know, parrot also loves Rihanna's work,
Rihanna
all
and that
he
kind of
does
stuff
on repeat.
But it's good to know that your pets love music, and the more rockier the better, it turns out. Even when it comes to dogs, they like rock and roll music as well. I always knew that pets had their own taste in music. I just didn't know that it was different than mine.
Do you think that when people leave the music on, like the radio on for the pets when they go off to work, the pets are just having a party and rocking out?
That's what I'd like to think goes on, but that's why I've installed cameras and that
I
doesn't
want.
Happen.
No,
it's
huh?
not, it's, it doesn't actually happen at all. But then now my parrot knows how to switch on and off Siri, which is great, and then plays Christmas music of its own accord. So that's why I'm thinking my parrot's a bit obsessed with Christmas tunes and
stuff.
If
you didn't know this, Jono often comes home to music blaring from the inside of his house, and it's all because of the parrot.
And 50% of the time it's Christmas songs, and I don't
Poor
entirely
neighbors.
Know why I don't know why he picks Christmas songs. But just so you're aware, your cat does not like the same music as you and would like you to play something different. That has blown my mind this morning.
The Big Breakfast with Jono and Nat,
a Dubai 92 podcast.